This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So today we're going to talk about confidence. By definition, confidence is, quote, the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something, a firm trust. So why do so many people struggle with this? So I'm excited to introduce you to a woman whose job it is to help women feel more confident. Her name is Dr. Carol Parker Walsh. She is the founder of Evolve Image Consulting, a professional development company that educates entrepreneurs and business leaders on developing an effective, empowering, and confident image. Dr. Walsh is also an acclaimed author, writer, speaker, television personality, and one of eWomen Network's esteemed premier success coaches. So please welcome Dr. Carol Parker Walsh. Yay!
Yay!
I'm so happy to have you, and I think you probably have a really great job. I mean, what a wonderful aspect of, you know, becoming a coach about helping people develop an image and have develop more confidence through their image. So, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Walsh, there are several definitions of confidence. You know, I named one, but they all revolve around the feeling or certainty about the truth. It's trust in yourself and trust in others. And trust ultimately leads to self-assurance, hence confidence. So you're in the business of helping women become more confident. So what do you think is the biggest struggle that women have around confidence?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. First of all, I think the struggle with confidence and the level of confidence differs generationally, which I have found quite interesting and fascinating. Now, I'm speaking in generalities, of course, but for the most part, the younger kind of millennial generation struggle with confidence when it comes to their body image. And being self-conscious around how you look translates to feeling competent and confidence in other areas, right? But the older generation, maybe with Gen X to Boomer, struggle with both a competence issue and a body image issue, right? So when it comes to body image, women are constantly bombarded with false, doctored images that suggest that such things that you need to have a perfect body or a perfect look, right? Or really they suggest that something's wrong. I mean, if you think about it, everything is geared toward something's not quite right, you need to improve. And that begins to erode at the underlying feeling that women have around their confidence level, because we live in a society where a lot of what you look like, regardless of confidence level, tends to impact whether or not you feel confident in a lot of different ways. So the relentless message directed to women that say you're not good enough, meaning you're not tall, short, you know, curvy, thin, whatever it is, they're crazy making. And what we do is that we judge ourselves against what's out there instead of what's inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you just think you've achieved one of these kind of mythical standards. You know, they change the rules and create something different. There's also an internalized sexism that I really believe with women, which makes them undermine and undervalue their own brilliance and significance. And research has actually shown that women find it more challenging, for example, to speak up for themselves, to speak up for their talents, their successes, to really own and claim their significance and the things that they've been able to achieve and accomplish, you know, because they're convinced that that's boasting or bragging or some level of arrogance. And because we've been taught to either implicitly or explicitly to own and claim our skills, either by our parents, at schools, friends, whatever it may be, and that it's okay for men to step up and claim the space of confidence and power, you know, women kind of wait in the shadows to either be noticed, or either to step up. Now, again, I'm speaking in generalities, and this is something that's really deep-seated, something that's really almost unconscious in a lot of women, you know. And so if our competence and talents aren't noticed, then we question the validity of our competence, and therefore our confidence struggles. So then we start hiding, we start questioning our abilities, we start doubting what we've accomplished. And these are the two areas, the two key areas that I see women suffer most, and how it impacts their overall confidence, is both their feelings of their body image and feelings of their overall competence level. So those are the key areas in which women struggle.
So do you think, you know, you were saying earlier that millennials, so that's in the 20-somethings, that they struggle mostly with body image and not necessarily competence. They feel more competent?
Yeah, I mean, if you notice, you know, even if you look at the social, the digital world that we live in, you know, a lot of millennials are very comfortable with taking risks and jumping out there, even if things don't seem, you know, perfect, or things aren't well put together. I mean, they're willing to just be to expose themselves and just put themselves out there, right, to just jump into it. And they have a sense of competence in just the limited amount of skills that they already have. Versus, but they were taught to feel that way, right? If you look at the way they were raised, they were taught to, you know, they were always rewarded for everything that they've done, right? That's just generationally what happened. So because of that, there's a sense that they can achieve and do anything, and everything that they do is good, because as they were raised, they were consistently supported and nurtured and you know, told that a girl, you go, you can do anything. Versus the older generation, and when I say older, I'm just speaking, you know, Gen Xers, which could be anywhere from early 40s and beyond. But primarily we see this more as you move into the mid 40s and beyond. We weren't raised the same way, right? That generation was raised more with a very strong feminine kind of ideology of, well, you know, you find a husband, or, you know, you can achieve things, but there's always some type of cap and limitations around it. So there was a lot of fighting for the ability to be either seen as an equal, to step up to be an equal, to be able to have that space of ownership. So sometimes women have acquiesced because it was a different time to not own that space of ownership. Whereas, you know, there's, and again, like I said, I was speaking in generalities, because there are a plethora of women who, even though they probably secretly struggle and on a conscious level struggle, still push through it to be able to meet some expectations and accomplishments. But these are the things, when I work with my clients, I see this at a generational level. I see that because of the way the media is structured, that what women at that kind of millennial age group is more around body issues, because that's what's really focused upon and what they've seen growing up, versus older women who struggle with both. It's both a competence and a body image issue.
Yeah, and we have to look at our parents and what our mothers did.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
And so, like, my daughter, for example, is, you know, there's nothing holding her back. But
exactly.
for me, I think I've definitely, deep down inside, there's always this not good enough, keep, you know, like pedaling real fast, and thinking that nothing I'm doing is enough to, you know, and that I need more, I need to do more. And I'm a bad mother, and I'm a bad, you know, this, and, you know, and I could get down, I am my worst critic, you know?
So, right. Exactly. Yeah, you have hit the nail on the head, and that's exactly right. So that generation, our generation, tends to raise stronger kids and support them and uplift them and let them know that they can do anything. And that's why when they move into the spaces, into their own businesses, you see that generation is much more entrepreneurial spirited. They believe that they can work someplace for a year and feel like, I got it, I can go out and start my own business. Versus somebody who's a boomer or older is like, oh, no, I need another certificate. I need to get a degree. I need to work 50 years. I need to, you know, we just feel like there's never enough, because there is that feeling of, am I good enough to be able to put myself out there, because
right.
of these internal messages. And you're right. You know, when I say that I work with all women, one of the terms I use is women of influence. And I use that word because, as even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a woman of influence, right? Because it's what our parents do. How are we influencing our children? What messages are we sending to our children? And that makes a huge difference, just like our mothers influenced us in terms of what we can achieve and accomplish. And most women who are in that boomer category were raised by that generation of moms who were wives and mothers. You know, you have the outliers who were career women and definitely broke those barriers and those levels. But at that time, that's exactly what they were. It was more of an oddity and a barrier breaker than a norm, which is what we see today. And a lot of the millennials growing up see in women today as well.
And I love that concept that we're all influencers, and that could be in a bad way, too. So that whatever
yes.
comes out of our mouth, whatever actions we take can influence someone around us, that cause and effect, that and it could not always be in a good way. So that self-talk we have that holds us back, if, you know, that could influence our daughters and our sons. And but at the same time, the self-talk that builds us up and says, hey, I did pretty good today. You know, to actually verbalize that and say it out loud will affect those people around you. So I think that's
absolutely. Don't you hit the nail on the head, because it definitely starts with that core messaging, meaning that if you've been taught or told in your family or throughout society certain things, that's what you're going to really adapt. You know, and like I said earlier, women on a whole have been conditioned societally really to put their faith and trust in something other than themselves, you know, as they were growing up. And again, this differs generationally. And because I feel like, again, the millennials most assuredly put their trust in themselves and their own competence and confidence. And so they're willing to try things. However, many of us, like I said, 40 and 50, we grew up in a time when self-reliance was considered more of a rebellious nature, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying this to be critical. It's just a reality. And you gave the perfect example. I was raised the same way. You know, I remember when I started college, my mother's hope for me was that I'd find a good husband, right? Mm-hmm. I don't say this to demean my mother, but that's what she was taught. And so that's what she tried to teach me. My father, on the other hand, had the luxury for being a male, but also the foresight to instill something else in me. And that was that the world was mine for the taking. Mm. And so your confidence is built over time, and much of it comes from the messaging you receive throughout your life and how you've internalized those messages. Because I clearly got two different messages from my parents, but I definitely, and I, in some degrees, I internalize both. Although I think just by nature of who I am, I really internalize my dad's message.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think both of them, I mean, my mom, it was really by example. She's very, very supportive always in whatever I was doing and thrilled. You know, she's one of those moms that's, you know, like the good Jewish mother who just thinks that I hung the moon and still does,
right.
By the way. My dad was really a workaholic, and I watched that. And now as an adult, a 56-year-old adult with my own children, my own grown children, I see now his work and his intensity and his work, and he loved what he did. But I also feel like now at this age, instead of being mad at him because he was a workaholic, I actually I really appreciate how hard he worked and that he never stopped until he got what he wanted and did what he loved to do. So
yeah.
I now have become a big admirer of his and have taken on that personality, which I think I always had, but I felt kind of like I had to suppress. That same father, by the way, when I remember in high school, would say to me if I was going to play tennis against a boy who I liked and had a big crush on, he said to me, remember, don't win. You got to let the boy win. So that
right.
was a message that I did grow up with. But in spite of that, I kept pushing and pushing. But still, till this day, you know, I've had a wonderful career in news, and I worked on but producer on the Today Show. And now I'm, you know, working here at eWomen Network. I do a million things. I've worked at CBS Radio. I've had a really great career. I'm a mom of two fabulous kids, but there's still that sense of there's more. I should do more. You know, I need to keep pedaling fast to get that attention. So
yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
I'm not the only one.
You are not the only one. And I just want to say, even though I know that women struggle in these areas, I'm not saying it keeps them from achieving what they want to achieve. It's just that we have this underlying thing that still every rung up the ladder we take, and sometimes we may prevent ourselves from going up that additional rung, depending on how powerful those influencing messages that we got growing up and around us. So we can still achieve, but then there's still something that sometimes just holds us back. And that's the thing. Those two things are the things that I find mostly in the women that I work with. And I do work typically with women who are, you know, in their 40s and beyond, up to, you know, in their 60s. And that is where I see the challenge for the most part. Yeah.
And you know, it could also be subconscious. Like we just hired another radio host who is just this fabulous woman who's, she's in travel and she's got her own business, and she's, you know, looking at another angle and another way to shift her business. And she said to me the other day that she finds herself, when she wants to change and shift her business into something else that she has passion for, that is in with the travel business, she says, I find myself worried about money and I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to, you know, to do that. So I just stay doing what I'm doing and gives up on that dream, so to speak, even though she's got a successful business, but there's more she wants to do. And I think there's a subconscious talk there, in a self-talk.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You are 100% right. You know, and the thing that is true is that our confidence level equates to our deserve level, right? Mm. And so if we have that negative self-talk in our heads, that doubt that we have, right? Because like I said, women, we struggle with that. We struggle with this kind of competence thing. And competence is not necessarily equate to confidence, but confidence in our competence makes a huge difference, right? So if we struggle with thinking that we're good enough, that we can handle something, then all of a sudden we start doing all that doubt and having all that bad self-talk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I said, the confidence level equates to your deserved level. It's like a ladder, right? And if your confidence level is on the lower rung of that ladder, you won't feel deserving or worthy of particular successes in your life and your business. And then you may begin to, at a very unconscious level, begin some self-sabotaging, you know, or just prevent yourself from moving forward. You'll believe the negative and destructive messages in your head and those around you. Mm. And then you'll be less inclined to take those risks, to go after your dreams. You'll play small. You know, you won't do those things that will help you achieve the success that you like to see, which will reinforce a low confidence. So it's like a vicious cycle, right? You are afraid to move forward, then you don't move forward, then you feel bad about not moving forward, then you don't, you then attribute that to really not being very competent in the beginning, you know, in the first place.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
And the same thing works if you're on the middle rung of that deserved level or the higher rung of that ladder. You know, you'll only perform at the rung of that ladder that you believe you deserve. You will only perform at your deserved level. And that's a lot of that self-sabotaging talk that keeps you from moving up that level. So the messages that you get, both internally and externally, the implicit and explicit messages that you got from your parents, whether they said something or, like you just gave the example, or you watched them do something, how we internalize those things really can really impact what we do and how we interact and move in our life and in our business.
Listen, we have to take a short break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask the question, does confidence come first or does it come after we take risks? I'll talk to you about that right after the short break.
Are you ready to take your information, wisdom, and experience onto the stage, but you're not sure how? Do you wonder just how to craft a compelling message that creates huge impact and the income of your dreams? If so, then you need to join us on our webinar, How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking, where you'll finally learn step-by-step what it actually takes to make money speaking. You're also going to learn what stops speakers from having an engaged audience that wants to buy, and you'll learn how to have the confidence to get out there and make a big difference on ideal stages. Look, it's time to stop letting your fears get the better of you and step into your power with a message that rocks the world. Register today for your free webinar, How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking, with me, Karen McGregor, at speakersuccessformula.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Okay, we're back now and talking with Dr. Carol Parker Walsh. And Carol, when we just left it, we were talking about the importance of, really, I love what you were saying about confident, about confidence and deserving confidence. That if what it, depending on what rung of the ladder you're on in terms of what level of you think you deserve to have success in your life will depend, will actually influence how the steps you take and the risks you take and to get what you really, really what you want, what your heart desires. Our eWomen Network founder, Sandra Yancey, says people think you have to have confidence before you take a chance on something. But she says the truth is that it's actually the opposite. Confidence is developed after you take the risk. So Dr. Carol Parker Walsh, in your experience, what do you think of that as a confidence image coach? What is your take on that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Confidence, you know, if you think of the word itself, and you gave a definition when we started, but it's Latin for con, meaning with, and fidere, which means trust, right? So it means with trust, with faith in self, really. So if you trust yourself, then you'll take risks. If you don't trust yourself, you may be a little bit hesitant to do that. So in some ways, yes, I agree with Sandra from that perspective, right? That if you take the risk, because the thing about what builds confidence is taking stock of past successes in life and in business, right? So if you take that risk and you make the jump and then you're like, ooh, that worked, it builds confidence because now you have a proven track record of success. And even if it doesn't work, you have a proven track record that if I do take the risk or do the leap, I'm not going to die. The
yes.
world is not going to end. I actually have the courage and cojones to actually make a move. So what it gives you by jumping and taking those risks, it gives you some data. It gives you some information that then you can utilize for future successes, right? Women are really such phenomenal multitaskers. We do things more unconsciously, and we forget about most of the things that we do and the successes that we have because we do so much stuff, and we do it just automatically and unconsciously. So oftentimes, we forget all the little and even sometimes big successes and accomplishments that we've achieved. We forget the risks that we did take because maybe at the time, for our own comfort level or for who we are, we didn't consider them risks. But to someone else, they may have been considered a risk. You know what I mean? So by taking a step back, it's important to write down and reflect upon the things that you did. You know, when you were feeling in doubt or questioning yourself, no matter what it is, any of those times that you were like, oh, I don't know if I should do this, or, you know, I really struggle with this decision, you need to reflect on what were the feelings and what did you do to overcome it? You know, whether it's in your mind, big or small, it doesn't have to be big to someone else. It has to be big for you, right? And when you question yourself, when you were in that space, whether, you know, if you could think about, if, you know, you as you were thinking about, should I take the risk, should I not take the risk, right? And just go back in time and consider, okay, I was going through that place, but I made the move anyway. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I am a competent. Yeah, I can do this. I am a risk taker, and I am a trendsetter. I am a trailblazer, or whatever the case is. And for each woman, they have to do that work individually. So yes, I absolutely believe that once you do that risk, when you take that step back and review and reflect upon that information, it definitely makes a world of difference to building your confidence level.
And I think too, when you're talking about writing, I think that's a brilliant idea, that sit down, but you have to know that sometimes other people won't know the risk. Sometimes it's a quiet shift or a quiet step in a direction that was different than another one. Sometimes it's picking up the phone and making a phone call and having the courage to call somebody or that you were upset with or forgive. Or there's courage in all of that. And each time you
do it,
right? And each time, and when you fail, I always say failure is an option and very important. in order for you to, as you say, gather data, gather information for you to move on to some, to take the next step. We have to fail.
Absolutely. So, and that's exactly, I say the same thing. Failure is data. Failure is just information. It's just additional information that you can then utilize to make an adjustment or a different adaption to be able to move forward in your life. That's really all it is.
Yeah. Now let's walk us through, if you would, when a client comes to you, first of all, you said your average demographic is 40 plus women. So when they come to you, they're seeking out an image coach, a confident image coach, right? So when they come to you, walk us through what you do to kind of get to the bottom of what's going on with them, and then how you start to work on their image, and what that image is. Is it physical? Is it, you know, mental, to bring them, you know, so that they do have develop that confidence?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for me to note, and I know you mentioned the doctor part of it, but I think it's important to understand and that what I bring to the table is pretty much different than other people who are image consultants. And I am a certified image consultant as well. But my doctorate work is in human development, particularly around women's issue, women identity, and women health. I am a certified NLP master practitioner. I use feng shui, and I'm a fashion feng shui master, one of 10 in the world. And I use all of this to inform my work with my clients. So I say that because what is presenting thing for me is that women will come to me saying, boy, I hate my wardrobe. I hate my closet. I have nothing to wear. Really, that translates to, I don't feel confident. I have no sense of really self. And it translates into your clothes. There's a body of literature on the psychology of appearance and power, on the psychology of dress, the psychological influences of what we wear on our body. And that is not in the mainstream. It's just about, you know, how to wear skinny jeans that make you look 10 pounds lighter, right? That's what we see.
Yeah.
Or I just don't have anything that I can wear. And so when you dig deeper through that, so that's usually the presenting issue, you know, or I need to have a better image, and I want to, you know, feel more confident as I'm moving out there. You know, some may actually say that. What I do with my clients is before we even look at the closet, I go back and then we get to this core of who they are. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that we do is to really get clear on making sure you know who you are. Because as I said, women are huge multitaskers. We're very influenced by the things that are around us. And sometimes either because we've had children or we've been married or we've had these different jobs and careers, we've done these different things in life, we can have a tendency to lose a sense of self, because we tend to give to others and self-serve for others. So we forget who we are, right? And so the first thing we have to do is get back to that core, that essence of who I am. You know, what is it about? What is my value system? How do I want to operate and move in the world? How do I want my business to be structured? You know, I've been looking at all these other examples, but I haven't really thought about what makes sense for me. I know what I love, but I have no idea how to package that and put that out there in a way that feels authentic to who I am. So that's where we start. The next thing that we do is that we look at, what are your goals and intentions? Now, when I work with my clients, I focus them on what's the specific thing they're looking for right now, because intentions and goals change. What you are focused on this year may not be what you want to focus on next year, right? So we look at that. We take a snapshot to say, what is it that you want to achieve and move forward to at this moment in time? Then from there, we look at the self-limiting beliefs. We look at that mean girl in your head, all that negative self-talk, all the things we talked about earlier. What are those messages? Where are they coming from? How are they influencing you? And how can we bring them to the conscious level so that they don't continue to serve as a self-sabotaging activity, right? Because even though we may not know we're thinking about these things, you know, they're unconscious, we will act upon them in very conscious ways. So we try to bring that to the consciousness so they can see that, so that the work that we do in the future does not unravel, because they re-engage in these activities, so they can identify them and come up with ways to be able to avoid or to reframe or rework their thinking around them so they can continue to move forward. after we do that, then we start looking at their body, and we look at body image. We look at, because, you know, for the most part, I would say this probably for 99% of the women that I work with who are in their middle ages, who are in their late 40s, 50s, you know, the memory of the body in our 20s is not quite the same, and that becomes problematic, right? And that's another reason it's hard to find things, because actually the fashion industry gears their clothing most, for the most part, for people who are younger than us and don't have bodies like us. So that becomes a problematic thing as well. So what I help them do is understand their body as it is now, and then begin the process of loving her and taking care of her and understanding what's the best way to dress her that's really aligned with that authentic space in terms of who you are. After we do that, then we start looking at your closet. So before we even get to your clothes, because the thing that is true is that your clothing is nothing more than an outward representation of who you are on the inside. It is a tool to leverage your competence and confidence level. It is the thing that you put on that supports you and uplifts you so that you can go out and do the things that you were put on this earth to do. That's all really clothing is. And because we have to wear it, we need to understand how to use it and how to utilize it effectively. Everything has energy, right? And so you need to put those things on you that will be supportive energy to go after the things that you want to go after in life. So then after we do all of this work, all this mining and gathering of information, this kind of archaeological finding that we do when we work together, all of that translates into color, line, pattern, texture, silhouette, everything. And so it informs what you need to wear. And then we look at the relationship between that and then build your wardrobe around that so that you can really step forth in this space of confidence, in this space of assuranceness, so that you feel confident to take those risks. You are okay doing a Facebook Live or speaking in front of a crowd or going after that big client that you've always wanted, or, you know, because you just feel that much more confident in yourself. And so that's the process that I work through with my clients.
And, you know, it's so, I got to tell you, so interesting is that with our celebrity science clients that we here have it here at eWomen Network, they all get a makeover and they get new photos taken. And I got to tell you, there are women who come in here who transform. They think, oh, this is who I am. You know, we had someone come in the other day. Amazing. I don't wear dresses and I don't wear this and I don't wear a lot of makeup and I don't. And then the stylist worked with her and found things and she's like, I don't know. This isn't me. Well, let me tell you, the photographs are amazing. And yeah, she has a look on her face that's not in those photographs. And I know they're just snapshot, but you know, it transformed her. There's another client we have, same thing, transform them. So do you agree then that sometimes what we think we are isn't necessarily who we really are?
Yeah, that could absolutely be the case, because we lose touch of that, right? Particularly as women, like I said, we get into these ideas of things based on how we've been influenced. And a lot of times the reason that we don't want to show up is because we just don't want to be embarrassed, because we don't feel confident. So we hide and we utilize, you know, not wearing makeup or wearing things that are oversized or always wearing black, which is crazy, you know, or things of that nature that we do because that confidence level is not where it is. Mm-hmm. And or we've lost sense of who we really are. Yeah. And that's why the first thing I do is help women to gain an understanding of who they are. So it's not the process of me putting something on them from my eyes view, but actually helping them to develop what they should be wearing. So there's immediate comfortability with that from their perspective, coming from who they are. So, and that's why I never start with clothes when I work with my clients.
I love that. And you just go so much deeper. You really, truly work from the inside out. And like anything, absolutely, any kind of transformation in life has to start there. I mean, even if you want to get healthier, you got to start from the inside out. What's blocking you? Why aren't you?
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So,
if you want it to be long lasting, right?
Yes.
That's the key. If you key. Want it to be long lasting, it needs to be transformational. There's a transformational shift that takes place, that then you're empowered to move forward, as opposed to doing something just temporarily. Because once you do that, you know, I mean, I could come in and overlay a lot of different things on somebody, and they for the moment feel fabulous, but then what are you going to do tomorrow or next week or next month? And that's why I really love, that's one of the things I love to do most with women, is to work at that core so that then they can move into the space of empowerment forward well after they've worked with me. And so that's the thing that's really key. And so now they're doing, I mean, I have clients who will, you know, call me from a conference after I've worked with them months later and tell me how amazing they feel. And they were able to put these things together and people are telling them how wonderful they look. And they feel they're walking through that conference, owning the space because they know, you know, they know themselves and they know how to put those things on them that makes them feel amazing. And because they feel more confident, they're going after opportunities. They're talking to people at the conference that they otherwise wouldn't talk to. They're creating deals. They're creating a space of taking them another level up on that ladder, on that rung of their deserved level.
Dr. Carol Parker Walsh, I could go on. I would like to talk to you for at least another couple of hours, but we have run out of time. I want to encourage everybody. Dr. Walsh also did a Success Institute webinar with us, and you can access that at ewomennetwork.com. And that's where you go into a really fascinating topic on feng shui, and you are, as you said earlier, a fashion feng shui master. So it's all about, you know, it's the color, the texture, all of that. And it really teaches you it's how to dress for success. But we're talking about really the feng shui way. So it's absolutely fascinating. So please check that out at ewomennetwork.com. Dr. Carol Parker Walsh, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and your experience, of course. If you feel you need to develop your confidence image, you can reach out to Dr. Carol Parker Walsh again at ewomennetwork.com. She is a Premier Success Coach. You would just click on the link for Premier Success Coaches. Dr. Carol Parker Walsh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been absolutely fabulous, Phyllis. Thank you.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit ewnradionetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.